Hi, good morning, church. I hope all of you guys are doing great. I miss you guys. I miss worshiping in our church. I hope that sooner than later, we will once again be able to gather together to worship the Lord. Just to let you know, so that you know what to expect this morning, Pastor TJ asked me to preach the Word of God to you guys this weekend, no? And I was supposed to bring the Word of God to you guys in a formal setting, like kanan agi pulpit ba, and I will be preaching to you like what we do in our Sunday service, na pulpit, and I will be preaching from the pulpit. And in fact, if you can see from behind me, ako gidala ang pulpit dere sa balay. I got it from the church and brought it here at home because I was supposed to preach from the pulpit. So what happened was I started to record, no? I started to preach from the pulpit, but it felt really awkward, no? It's quite strange preaching in an empty room, preaching in the front of the camera. I mean, I'm not as talented as Pastor TJ, you know. It really felt awkward for me. In fact, my daughter suggested nga butang na lang ko nung staff toy niya in front of me so I'll be more comfortable as I preach. But I don't think that idea will work. So I asked Pastor TJ's permission that I'm just gonna deliver the Word of God to you guys in a more informal setting, no, para maka heart to heart talks at kita hay taba. And I also ask his permission na magbinisaya po ko from time to time para atong mga kauban sa Cebuano service can also join us together. They can also tune in, no, to our Facebook account, right? So okay, so this morning we're gonna have a break in our study in the book of Mark, but instead what I'll be sharing to you guys is about holding on to the promises of God. It's about holding on to God's word in these tough and trying times. Now guys, there's no other greater foundation in life other than the word of God. And I believe if our lives are just rooted and grounded in the word of God, I mean, if our lives are rooted in the word of God, we will still be able to glorify the Lord in the midst of this pandemic, no? We will still live fruitful lives as long as we are grounded in his word. And my goal this morning is to simply remind you that no matter how big the storm we're facing right now, God is in complete control and we can certainly trust in Him, right? So before we go to His Word, let's come before the Lord in prayer, okay? Let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, we come before your presence this morning. We thank you, Lord, that although we are apart, O God, although we are far from each other, we can still gather together, Lord, through the gift of technology and worship you, Lord, in one heart, in one spirit, worshiping you, Father, in spirit and in truth. This morning, Heavenly Father, we humbly ask right now for your blessing upon our study of your word, O God. And we pray, Lord, that you allow us, Lord, to have a blessed time together, Lord. May you anoint our fellowship, O God. We pray for your presence to be upon each and every home. We pray, Lord, that you allow your word, O God, to be discussed, Lord, with anointing and clarity. And we just humbly ask, Holy Spirit, that you be the one to minister to each and every heart, Lord. We thank you, we praise you, O God, for this time together. And we pray, Lord, that you accomplish your purpose, Lord, for this meeting. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, guys, as I've said, in our life, there's no greater foundation than the Word of God. And I believe it is only through the Word of God that we will be able to get through this crisis unshaken. Now in Matthew chapter 5 verse 8, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will remain until everything has been accomplished." Now, in other words, what our Lord Jesus Christ is telling us here, that everything we see right now, everything we feel right now, everything we hear right now, all of these things, they will pass away. But what he has spoken in his word, all of them will remain forever. So guys, what we have here, what we have in the Lord Jesus is a clear, certain, and solid promise that we can always bank on. His word is something that we can trust. And his word is something that's far greater than any wealth, any abilities, any relationships, or any connections that we could ever have. God's word is something that we can confidently trust with certainty. God's word is our only everlasting foundation in life. And today, I will be sharing three very simple principles on how we can use the Word of God, or how we can make the Word of God become the ultimate foundation of our life. So let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. This is just a short sharing, guys, but I hope you'll be blessed. I hope you'll be able to apply the principles that we will be learning this morning. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. Let's read it all together. It says here, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it." Now guys, three very simple principles I'd like to share with you in order to make the Word of God become the ultimate foundation in our life. Now, principle number one, let's look at what the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us here in verse 24. He says here, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine." Now, church, I'd like us to underscore this statement that the Lord Jesus Christ said. He says, "Everyone who hears this word of mine." Now, church, the first step in order for us to make the Word of God become the ultimate foundation in our lives is that, number one, we need to hear His words. We need to know what the Word of God is saying. And church, this is important because Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, God said, "My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge." Now guys, lack of knowledge can destroy you. Lack of knowledge can mess up your life. And the lack of knowledge that Hosea was referring to here is about being ignorant of God's law, or about lacking knowledge of what the Word of God is saying. It's about lacking knowledge of what the law of the Lord is. So in other words, Hosea was saying, if you're ignorant about scriptures, if you're ignorant about God's commandment, then it can destroy you. Lack of knowledge in God's word can destroy you. That's why, church, there are so many Christians or professing Christians who are living their lives today that are defeated, that are joyless, and there are still so many professing Christians who are living their life today, still living in sinful ways. It is because of their lack of knowledge of God's word. They are ignorant of what the word of God is saying. Now, guys, you must understand your attitude towards the Word of God, or how you handle the Word of God, will determine the way you live your Christian life. And guys, how many of you understand, or how many of you know, that the lack of knowledge is actually a choice? Ignorance of God's Word is actually a choice. Because why? The Word of God is there for us for the taking. So it is really up to us if we want to grow spiritually or not. It's really up to us if we want to make the Word of God as a solid foundation of our life or not. Because the Word of God is always there for the taking. Now, church, you must understand, to know the Word of God is to know God Himself. The more you know about the Word of God, the more you'll come to know God Himself more personally. To know His Word is to know the Lord Jesus Christ more. And guys, one of the great benefits of knowing God's Word, or knowing God Himself, is that it will totally change your perspective in life. It will totally change your perspective in life. Now take, for example, the life of King David. Now this was a story, we're all familiar with this story, right? The battle between David and Goliath. So let's just go to this, to deliver my point, let's just go to this passage right now in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 41 to 50. And let's take a look at how knowing God's word changed David's perspective in life, okay? So 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 41 to 50. "Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome. And he despised him. He said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come with me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. 'Come here,' he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. David said to the Philistine, You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching to his back and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into the forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and stone. Without sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. Now guys, what's interesting about this passage is that, you know, we've read it quite often. We usually read this in our Sunday school classes. But how many of you realize that there is more to this story? Now, if you look at closely, I wonder if you've seen it this, that as David was about to fight the giant Goliath, he was actually quoting scripture verses. Now, as he was about to go into the battle with Goliath, he was actually arming himself with scripture verses. Now, let's look at what David said in verse 45. Now he says here, You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. Now, church, when David said, In the name of the Lord Almighty, he was actually quoting a name of God that has been revealed in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. He was actually quoting a revealed name of the Lord in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. And moving on, in the same verse, David also said, he says, You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. Now, church, when David mentioned the God of the armies of Israel, he was actually referring to Exodus chapter 14, verse 19. He knows that God is the God of the armies of Israel. David knows his scriptures quite well. As he was quoting that, and indeed, he was actually quoting scriptures. And lastly, in verse 47, when David said, All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. For the battle is the Lord's. Now again, during this time, David was actually quoting a scripture passage. He was quoting Exodus 14, verse 14, which says, The Lord will fight for you, you only need to be still. And Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 22, it says, Do not be afraid of them, for the Lord God himself will fight for you. Now David knows his Old Testament. David knows the scripture. Now, when David fought the giant Goliath, he was armed with weapons so much more powerful than his slingshot. He was armed with the Word of God. He was armed with the Scripture. And guys, if you are familiar with the story, before the actual fight, before the actual battle of David and Goliath, you can actually read that the rest of the armies of the Israelite army were actually very afraid of the giant Goliath. That none of them dared to face him when Goliath made the challenge. And it was this little shepherd boy who had the courage, or who had enough courage to fight him. Now, why is that? It is because David knows what the Word of God is saying. And because of that, because his arm is equipped with scripture, because his life is grounded in the Word of God, it gave him a different perspective. It gave him the courage to face Goliath. Now, guys, one of the benefits of knowing God's Word, of not lacking knowledge of God's Word, is that it will totally give you a different perspective in life. You can see things from God's perspective. It builds up your faith. It gives you courage. Now guys, as we are in the midst of the onslaught of COVID-19 right now, maybe COVID-19 is like a personal Goliath to us. All of us are in a highly uncertain time. And as I've said earlier, there's no available antidote to this disease yet. And everything is just experimental. And all of us are in a crisis right now. All of us are facing a Goliath right now. Maybe some of you, you've been laid out from work and you're having financial problems right now. Or maybe some of you, you're afraid for your health, afraid for the health of your loved ones. Or if you're a businessman like me, you're anxious because you don't know when this crisis will end or how the economy would look like after this crisis. But guys, my point is this. If our life is anchored in the Word of God, we can see this crisis in a different perspective. We can face this crisis with so much courage, with so much assurance, knowing that God will always be there for us. Because we know that God had made so many promises in His Word. Yes, financially, the crisis may be scary. Yes, financially, the crisis will affect us. No, I mean, the crisis will affect us financially. But the Word of God tells us that He shall supply all our needs in accordance with His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And if we take God at His Word, there's actually no need for us to be afraid. Because we know no matter how the economy turns out after this crisis, God will always be there to provide for us. Now, if we're afraid of our health, we know that the Bible tells us that Jehovah God is our Jehovah Rapha. He's the God who heals. He's the God who upholds us in the palm of His righteous right hand. And should this crisis really, worst comes to worst, should it take our life, the Word of God tells us that He is the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in Him, though he dies, yet they shall live. You're not trying to say, guys, if we are grounded on the Word of God, it will give us a different perspective in life. If we're grounded in the Word of God, we don't have to be afraid of anything. Because the Word of God assures us. The Word of God encourages us. And so no matter what circumstances we're in, we're anchored in His Word. We can stand firm in His Word. Now you must understand that the Bible is filled with God's promises. To know His Word is to know His promises. And to know His promises is to know a loving Savior. Now in John chapter 14 verse 1, our Lord Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in Me." Now the Lord Jesus wants us to trust Him. He wants us to put all our hope in Him. But guys, how many of you know that trusting and knowing, they come hand in hand? You never trust anyone whom you do not know, right? You will never entrust the care of your children to someone who's a total stranger to you, right? Because guys, trusting and knowing, they come hand in hand. You will never be able to trust anyone whom you do not know. That is just plainly impossible. Now, the reason why there are so many Christians who are afraid right now is that maybe they don't really know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. They really don't know what the Lord Jesus Christ is capable of doing. They don't know how immense, how great, how magnificent the love of the Savior is. Now, guys, my point is this. We can only put our faith, we can only trust the Lord Jesus Christ totally if we really know who He is. Because trusting and knowing, they come together. They come hand in hand. So guys, may I suggest to you that if you're afraid right now, if you are anxious right now, get to know the Savior all the more. Get to know the Lord Jesus Christ more and more through His Word. And guys, let me tell you, if you will be diligent in meditating on God's Word, you will really have a different perspective in life. Now in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, the Lord Jesus said, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Now in this verse, the Lord Jesus likened the Word of God to bread. Now what is bread? Now, if Jesus was born in the Philippines, this verse could have went this way. Man does not live on rice alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, bread for the Jews was rice for us. No? It's something that we need. It's something that's that we take every day. It's a daily essential. I mean, all of us eat every day, right? And why do we eat? Because if we don't eat, we get weak. And if we get weak, we get sick. And if you get sick, we die, right? Now, what's true in the natural is also true in the spiritual. The Lord Jesus is saying here that if we don't feed on the Word of God, we'll also become spiritually weak. And the moment we get spiritually weak, we get tempted so easily, we cannot decide properly, and then we'll begin to lose our sensitivity to His leading and guidance. And the moment we become spiritually weak, we can also become spiritually sick. And the moment we become spiritually sick, we will begin to lose interest on spiritual things. Now guys, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the Word of God. Now guys, it is the Word of God that will help us and keep us going in our Christian life. The moment we begin to stop feeding on the Word of God, we become weak, we become sick, and eventually, we will lose interest on spiritual things. We will lose interest on spiritual things, and that becomes a problem because we're supposed to hear the Word of God. We're supposed to know the Word of God. We're supposed to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to hunger for the Word of God. Now again, guys, if we want to make the Word of God become the solid foundation in our life, number one is we've got to hear His Word. We've got to be hungry for His Word. We've got to know what His Word is saying. So that's principle number one. Okay, let's move on. Principle number two. Still in our verse in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. It says here, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Now, what did the Lord Jesus say here? He says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them." Does them. Now, in order for us to make the Word of God become the foundation of our life, hearing and knowing the Word alone is not enough. We also need to do them. We need to obey them. Now, Edmund Chan, he said, "Truth alone doesn't change life. It's truth applied is what changes life." Now, guys, I don't know if you've noticed that there are so many Christians who have been Christians for many years. I mean, they go to church every week. And some of them, they even join Bible studies. They can quote scripture verses. But yet, if you look at their lives, they're very unproductive in God's vineyard. They're unfruitful. And at times, if you examine their lives, they're still living in, you know, living in sin. Not producing anything in God's vineyard. Not contributing anything to the kingdom of God. Yet, they go to church. Yet, they know the Word of God. Now, the problem is, they know the Word of God, they hear the Word of God, but they do not practice it. They do not obey it. Now, guys, this morning, allow me to remind you once again that the Scripture is the very Word of God. It is the very Word of the living God, the God who made the heavens and the earth, the God of splendor, the God of glory. You know what, guys, over the years of being a Christian, I have never seen anyone who follows the Word of God diligently and ended up in misery. I mean, it's a guarantee. If you follow and obey God's Word, no matter what type of crisis, no matter what type of situation you go through in life, you will always rise above your circumstances. Now, yes, the pain might still be present. The discomfort might not go away. But if you know the Word of God and embrace it with all your heart, you will always rise above your circumstances, even if the circumstances doesn't change. Again, one of the benefits of knowing the Word of God and practicing them is that it totally changes your outlook in life. Now, a few weeks ago, I shared with you the testimony of our dear friend Donnie Lama. What I failed to mention during that time was that every time persecution comes to him, he always recites scripture verses in his mind. Every time he's being persecuted in prison or wherever he is, he always quotes scripture verses. And if he cannot say it loudly, he just quotes it in his mind. And according to him, it is what keeps him going. It is what caused him to rise above his circumstances. And yes, the pain was still there. The discomfort was still there. But he was way above the situation because, you know, he has the Word of God to hang on to. He has the Word of God to depend on. He has the Word of God to, you know, just give him the strength, give him the courage to persevere. Now, how many of you realize that the Bible is a successful man's book? The Bible is a victorious man's book. The Bible is full of records of many victories done and accomplished by the faithful men and women of God. Now, take, for example, the life of King David. I mean, he's one of Israel's greatest king, right? And we all know where David came from an ordinary shepherd boy beating the giant Goliath. But yet, after that, if you read the scriptures, many times David ran for his life because there were many who wanted to take his life. But yet, in spite of all these things, David rose above his circumstances and went on to become one of Israel's greatest king. And we can also learn from the life of Joseph the dreamer, right? He was sold by his brothers and he became a slave. And every turn of event, you can see unsa kalisod yang giagian. No, there was a time he was accused falsely by Potiphar's wife. I mean, Joseph's life was not a bed of roses. He went through many difficult ordeals. But yet, because he knows his God, he went on to become Egypt's greatest governor. And we can also learn from the life of Moses. I mean, he has a tendency, kanang daghan siyang problem ba? No, in fact, when the Lord approached him and told him that he was going to deliver the Israelites, the kankesha reklamo, I mean, he knows he was incompetent. He knows that the work is too big for him. But yeah, because Moses knows his God, by the grace of God, he really led the Israelite out of slavery. And so much and so on. Another example is the life of Daniel. They were exiles in Babylon, remember? And in fact, he was sent to the lion's den. He also went through many difficult ordeals in his life. But yet, after everything, he went on to become one of Babylon's high-ranking officials. Again, the Bible is a record of many victories, of many feats that the men and women of God have accomplished. If you come to the New Testament, needless to say, unsay accomplishment ni Apostle Paul, di ba? I mean, we know the sufferings that the Apostle Paul went through, but yet we could say he's one of the most faithful and fruitful saints that ever lived. I mean, even up today, in one way or another, all of us, kind of new generation believers, is because of the faithful toil of the Apostle Paul. I mean, guys, you all know what the Apostle Paul went through, right? The many sufferings he went through. But yet, because he knows his God, he knows what the Word of God is commanding him to do, and he faithfully did them. He faithfully followed and obeyed the Word of God. Paul is one of the most fruitful, most successful men who ever lived in history. Again, he rose above his circumstance. The disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ changed the world upside down. You know what I'm saying? Again, the scripture is a victorious man's book. The scripture is full of records of many victories done and accomplished by the faithful men and women of God. And guys, if you examine their life, one common denominator they have is that because they have been faithful in following the commands of God. They have been faithful in following what God commanded them to do. That's their common denominator. And the point is simply this: hearing the Word of God alone is not enough. We have to do what the Word of God says. We have to obey what God has commanded in His Word. Now, please turn with me for a moment to Genesis chapter 26, verse 4 to 6. It says here, I will multiply your offsprings as the stars of heaven and will give your offsprings all these lands. And your offspring, all the nations of the earth, shall be blessed because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Now, this passage tells us that Abraham was greatly blessed by God. Why? Because he obeyed God. Because he obeyed God. Now, guys, the beauty of obeying God's word is not only will it help you get through tough times, not only will it let you rise above your circumstance, but there is also great blessing in obeying God's word. There's also great blessing in doing what God commands us to do. Now, if you look at scriptures, there are a lot of scripture that tells us that there is great benefit in doing his word. There's great benefit in obeying his command. Like, for example, Psalm 1 talks about meditating about the word of God day and night, and God will just prosper the things that we're going to do. In Psalm 119, you can see there the beauty and the richness of God's word and the benefits of obeying them. One of my memory verse says there in Psalm 119, verse 11 says there, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, I mean, if you hide God's word in your heart, if you just do what the word of God tells you to do, there is really great benefit. It could be spiritual benefit. It could be, you know, many other benefits. I mean, your life will be greatly blessed. And the point is, there is great blessing in obeying God's word. There's great blessing in following his command. Now, allow me to cite an example to you guys. In 2004, when the tsunami hit Indonesia, that was in 2004, there were so many people who died. That was a big catastrophe back then, no? And people were dying left and right. So in response to this tragedy, a church from Singapore organized a medical mission, organized a team to help in the relief operations in the disaster area. And one of those who was there, Dr. Francis Seo, during that time, Dr. Seo was still a young doctor who just recently opened his clinic. And when their church organized that relief, when their church organized that medical mission, and when their pastor recruited him to join the medical mission without any hesitation, without any second thoughts, Dr. Seo agreed instantly that he's going to Indonesia. He's flying to Indonesia to help in the relief operation, to help in their medical team. And guys, you should understand that during that time, he just recently opened his clinic. And you know, in Singapore, the rental there could be crazy expensive. So that means for him to go to Indonesia, it meant that he will be away from his clinic. And it would cost him thousands and thousands of dollars because he would be away from his clinic. He would be without, you know, he would be without income. But in spite of that, he went on anyway. Why? Because Dr. Seo knows the Bible. He knows what the Word of God is saying. He firmly grasps and believes that he will seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All the things that he will be needing will just be added unto him. So in obedience to God's Word, Dr. Seo immediately flew to Indonesia to help in their relief operations. And mind you guys, he didn't stay in Indonesia. He stayed there for days. He didn't stay there for weeks. But Dr. Seo and his team were there for 3 long months. I mean, can you imagine? He just recently invested his time and effort, his money, his resources to open his new clinic. And then he needed to fly to Indonesia without any income just for him to help other people, for him to help total strangers. And guys, that's commitment. That's obedience to the word of God. Now guys, listen to this. Within that period of 3 months, he and his team performed 2,200 plus surgeries and treated some 22,000 plus patients. Now guys, that's Christian love in action. And they did it all as volunteers. Now, Dr. Seo went there without any expectation that he will gain anything in return. He just went there because he knows what the word of God is saying. He went there because he knows there is great blessing in obeying God's call, in obeying God's word. Now, that was 2004. Okay, that's how many? 16 years ago. Now, today, Dr. Francis Yeo is one of the busiest and one of the most well-known surgeons in Singapore. Just a few years back, 16 years ago, he was just a young doctor obeying the call of God in the mission field, obeying God's word. Dr. Seo knew that there was a great blessing in obeying God's word. And indeed, guys, what's true for him is also true for us. If we follow the word of God, if we diligently obey the word of God, there is great blessing in that. So guys, that leads us to our next principle, principle number 3. And still we can find that from the same passage, from the same verse. It says here, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock." Now guys, for us to make the word of God become our ultimate foundation, we need to build our house upon the rock. No, okay, just a quick review before we go to the third and last principle. Principle number 1, in order for us to make the word of God become our ultimate foundation, number 1 is that we need to hear his word. We need to know what the word of God is saying. We need to hunger for his word. No, we need to feed on God's word. That's principle number 1. And principle number 2, we need to diligently follow his word. We need to consistently obey his word. So those are principle number 1 and number 2. And number 3, very important, is that we need to be totally committed to his word. Okay, it's hearing his word, doing his word, than being committed to his word. That's a very important principle. That's 1, 2, 3. Now, here, the Lord Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Now, guys, building a house on the rock is one of the most time-consuming, one of the most tedious, and one of the most difficult things a contractor can ever do. No, I'm not an engineer, but I am very much involved in the construction industry because our family is into that industry. Now again, I'm not an engineer, but what I know is that building a structure in Cebu, I think one of the most tedious place to build a structure in Cebu is in Mactan, because Mactan is a rock island. No, while most of the Cebu island is composed of soil, Mactan is the opposite. Mactan's ground is quite rocky. So the moment you begin to build the foundation, it's very hard to dig. No, it's very lisod kay ikalot ma, because bato man siya nga island. Now compared to building on a soil, it's so easy. Dali na kay ikaw ang soil. But if you build on a rock, that's a different story. It will take more time. It will be more difficult. It will be more tedious. So what our Lord Jesus is saying here is that if we want to make his word our solid foundation, we need to obey the word of God like building a house on the rock. So in other words, we need to obey the word of God. We need to follow the word of God even when it is difficult, even when it is tedious, even when it is tiring, or even when it is impossible. That's what building on the rock is all about. No, building on a soil, dali na kayo nabuhaton. But building on a rock is totally a different story. The moment you hear his word, the moment you do his word, you've got to be totally committed, like one who's building his house upon the rock. No, your faith will be challenged, your belief in God's word will be challenged. But yeah, it's like building on a rock. Bahala og lisod, bahala og tedious, but you still do it anyway. That is the picture that the Lord Jesus Christ is giving us here. No? Hearing his word, doing what his word commands us to do, and be committed to it even when it's difficult to obey, even when it's tiring to do so, even it's tedious to do so. Now please turn your Bibles with me for a moment to Genesis chapter 22. and we'll be reading verses 1 to 3. This was the time when God tested Abraham's faith. Genesis 22 verse 1 and 3 says here, "After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here am I.' He said, 'Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him." Now guys, you know about this story, right? Abraham loved Isaac so much. I mean, he waited almost all his lifetime to have his son, to have Isaac. And you can just imagine the joy and the pride that Isaac could have brought to Abraham. And you can also imagine how precious, how dear Isaac was to Abraham. Grabe gid siguro kay niya kapinangga ba, kay dugay kay niya giuwat. And then here comes God asking Abraham to make Isaac as an offering. Now guys, it's such a hard commandment to do, right? Don't you think so? Lisod siguro kay na buhatod. Can you imagine na dugay kay siya naghuwat ni Isaac, and Isaac is finally here. I mean, it brought so much joy to him. And yet God is demanding Isaac to be offered. Now guys, this is what building a house on the rock is all about. You follow God, you obey God, even when it is difficult. Even when it is, you know, very hard for you to do. But as you take a look at the life of Abraham, in spite of the difficult command from the Lord, the Bible tells us that Abraham woke up early in the morning to obey the word of God. There was no delay in his obedience. I mean, he did not rationalize with God. He did not reason with God. He did not negotiate with God. But yet, he chose to obey God immediately. Now guys, this is what building a house on the rock is all about. You take God at his word, even when it is difficult, even when it is very hard to do. Now guys, the word of God is full of commandments that's very difficult to do. Now maybe one of them, the Bible commands us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Maybe some of you right now, there's that person in your life that you really hate, that you're very angry at. Maybe that person betrayed you, or that person did something very horrible, and you're so angry at that person and you're not able to forgive that person. But yet guys, the Bible tells us to love our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us. Now that's difficult, right? But if you want to build your house upon a rock, you have to obey the word of God even when it is difficult. Now the scripture tells us to be not equally yoked with an unbeliever. Now maybe karon you have a sweetheart that's not a Christian. You have an uyab that's not a Christian. Well, brother or sister, let me tell you, you have to take that step of faith. If you want to make the word of God become the ultimate foundation of your life, you've got to take that step of faith. Even if it hurts you, even if it's difficult, you have to, you know, break up with that unbelieving partner. And mind you guys, I also know of people who really took the step of faith when the Lord convicted them that dili gid pwede in aning a relationship. And I praise God that there are really brethren who take the extra mile, who can go the highway, ma. To obey the word of God. I know of, you know, people who go the extra mile na buwagan gyud nila ilang unbelieving partner because they want to honor the Lord. They want to please the Lord. Now guys, the moment you negotiate with God, you begin to compromise. You begin to compromise. Now if you want to make the word of God become the ultimate foundation of your life, you got to obey the word of God even when it's difficult. Now, another example would be si Noah. We know his story, right? The Lord asked Noah to build an ark because there was an impending judgment coming. I mean, can you imagine, guys? Noah built the ark in the mountainside. No, I mean, can you imagine how Noah could have felt during that time? Naghimo siyang barko nanto sa bukid. No, his neighbors might be thinking the buang naman ni si Noah. And he could have been facing the persecution sa ihang mga neighbor, no? Noah, nag-unsa naman ka diyan? Ano, gahimo mga tao kag barko, asa man imong dagat? And Noah built the ark for I think it was for years. It was not, you know, it was not an ordinary bangka that he could build in weeks. It took him a lot of time, a lot of effort for Noah to complete the ark. So it was a difficult thing to do, but Noah remained faithful. He did what the Lord commanded him to do. Now, it was difficult, it was tiring, it was tedious, it commanded sacrifice, but yet Noah did it anyway. Now, guys, let me tell you, in all honesty, I have been a Christian for many years now. But up to this point in my life, I know that there are things that the Lord wants me to change, that the Lord wants me to improve on. And I just ask the Lord for grace, for that He may continuously extend grace upon me to shape me and make me to be the person He wants me to be. Now, guys, what I'm trying to say is that the moment we obey the Word of God, I mean, the Word of God is like a mirror. It causes you to see your sinfulness. It causes you to see your disobedience. And the more you draw closer to God, the more you come to realize na grabe siya kaholy and grabe kayo ta ka sinful, no? Grabe siya kaholy and grabe kayo ta ka sinful. But yet, it is by His grace that He will cause us to be molded into His image and likeness. And the point is this, for us to be molded into His image and likeness, we've got to cooperate. We got to follow the Word of God. We're going to follow His commands, even if it is difficult for us to do. Now, guys, we thank the Lord that He's not just our Savior, but He's also our Emmanuel. He is God with us, and He is God who is for us. Now, there may be commandments right now that you're having difficulty to follow, or there may be things that you need to do and you're having difficulty to do them. Guys, there's no use in pretending before the Lord. Come before the Lord honestly and tell Him, Lord, I am struggling with this. Lord, it's so difficult for me to follow this command, but Lord, help me take that step of faith. Give me that grace, Lord, to really maybe overcome this sinful tendency, or grant me the grace, Lord, to really follow what You have called me to do, to really obey what You have commanded me to do. Because guys, those are three important things that we need to follow if we want to make the Word of God become the ultimate foundation in our life. Number one, hear His Word. Know what the Word of God is telling us. Be hungry for His Word. Know the promises of God. Know the commandments of God. And number two, we need to diligently follow them. We need to consistently obey the Word of God. Do not be merely hearers of the word and so deceive yourself. No, that's what the Bible tells us. But be doers of the word of God. And number three, be totally committed to His word. Do not compromise. Do not compromise. Obey His word at all costs. Now guys, I know all of us are in a difficult situation right now. We're facing this pandemic. But I believe with all my heart, if our lives are just rooted in the Word of God, we will get through this pandemic, strong. We can go through this crisis with confidence, knowing that God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Now, what I'm saying, if we just ground ourselves in the Word of God, there's no reason for us to fear. There's no reason for us to be afraid in the midst of this pandemic that's going on right now, in the midst of this crisis that's happening right now. So guys, I believe that the Lord is going to see us through, and until that day when we can finally be, you know, kana masulbad na ninga problema, let's continue to hang on in faith. Let's continue to practice these principles in our life that we would really be hungry for His Word, and we will do what His Word commanded us to do, and examine our hearts. Now, unsay areas atong life na we need more grace, let us just come before the Lord and ask the Lord that, Lord, help me to kanang committedly follow You, Lord, even when it's difficult for me to do. Guys, all of us need the grace of God. All of us need the grace of God. And if we just follow these three principles, guys, I believe with all my heart that no matter what storms, what trials that life throws at us, like the great saints in the past, we too can become overcomers in whatever situations that we're going to be facing. Okay? So those three simple principles, I hope I was able to minister to you guys. Again, I'm not a vlogger. I'm sorry for the setting. I don't even know if I was able to communicate to you guys well. So I just trust the Holy Spirit to minister to you guys. And I really hope and pray that sooner than later, all of us will be able to gather again to worship the Lord together, right? So until then, as we close, let's just come before the Lord in prayer. No? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You so much, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, O God, for speaking to us, O Lord. Teach us, Heavenly Father, to have a hunger and thirst, Lord, for Your Word, O God. That, Lord, we will really feast and feed on Your Word, O Lord. For man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from Your mouth. And teach us, Father God, not just to be merely hearers of Your words, Lord, but be doers, O God. We pray, O Lord, that we will really do, Lord God, what Your Word had commanded us to do. And Lord, may You grant us a faith like Abraham, Lord. Grant us a faith like Abraham to follow You, Lord, to heed Your command, even when it is difficult to do. Lord, in areas where we need more grace, we pray, O God, that You fill us with grace, Lord. You exactly know our weakness, O God. You exactly know, Lord, in the areas where we're struggling, but we want to thank You, Lord, that You're compassionate and merciful. But Lord, may You not allow us to take Your grace in vain as well, Lord. Teach us, O God, to respond in faith. And our prayer, O Lord, is that our lives, O Lord, be anchored in Your Word, O God. Lord, teach us to trust You, Lord. Teach us, Lord, to know You more, O God. And we praise You, we thank You. We once again continue to pray, O Lord, that You keep us in Your presence. Protect us, Lord, from this ongoing pandemic right now. We pray for Your grace and mercy to be upon us, to be upon our nation, to be upon our city. We pray, Father God, that sooner than later, Lord, if it be Thy will, we once again, O God, be able, Lord, to gather together to worship You corporately, Lord. And again, Father, we pray humbly, Lord, that may Your Word continue to minister to us even in the days to come. So God, whatever has been done and accomplished this morning, we just want to give You back all the praise, the worship, the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for your time, guys. God bless you all.